This morning for our scripture reading, we finish up Colossians by reading Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. You'll have to bear with me with some of these pronunciations. These are Paul's final greetings to the church in Colossae. So it reads as follows. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, and you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha, and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. These final greetings from Paul to the church in Colossae are part of God's inspired word, and they are the basis of our message today that's titled, All for One and One for All, Part One.
You'll bear with us a little bit this morning as we're going to do something a little different. You may have got a hint this last week as I sent out an email to everyone who has given me their email address trying to get some information from you. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But as you can see, we're going to talk about a little bit about, starting off with anyway, the impersonable. What I mean by that is, you know, first of all, like Gary said, you know, that all of Scripture is inspired by the Lord and is to be preached. And like some of the other texts that you and I've been through together, this is some of those things we just kind of pass over, and some of the names we pass over and we can't even pronounce them. And so we skip over them. And yet, think about this. Whatever has been written down in the Scriptures, whatever name has been used and named in the Scriptures, and think about the millennia of pastors and teachers who have come across these names, and you have read them, how many times they've been spoken. They are names that are written down in the eternal Word of God. And so we at least should touch on them, don't you think? We've been through the book, the letter to Colossians, and we've heard about the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. We've heard what it is to try to give a gift to the world, which is Christ to the world, a gift to our brothers as we try to treat them as brothers and sisters, and to try to bring them along and help them along, and hopefully lean on them as they help us, and a gift to ourselves. Remember that, to kind of get off our backs, to get off our own backs, to quit trying to keep the rules, as they say. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And yet, Paul has at least 11 verses here and other places even in this letter that he's talking about a personal relationship with other people. You see what's happening in our world. You've heard about this, right? That in particular, the minimum wage went up to $15 in Seattle. And so the fast food restaurant said, well, we'll show you. We're gonna put some robots out there. And this is happening all over the world, but not just with jobs. It is with jobs and restaurants and other places. But how about a robot as a witness to a wedding? That's strange. I mean, you know, that's just strange. Some people want to do some things for fun, so yeah, maybe that's for fun. But how about marrying a robot? Yes, this is happening. One gentleman a few weeks ago or some time ago married his own computer. That's pretty impersonable. One man, he built his own robot. He built his own bride and married her. We have a bishop robot. I don't know what he does or how he does it or who controls him. Or we have a Buddhist priest who can officiate a wedding or a funeral. We have robot tanks and robot planes and robot submarines and we've got unmanned everything. We don't need us, do we? We don't need us. They do weddings without us. They do wars without us. They do work without us. The world is going on without us. I'm going to steal something. Just let you know, I'm going to steal something. We heard this at the conference yesterday. It was funny because somebody said something, and then one of the other pastors came up and said, "You stole my thing." And remember this, Joe? And then somebody else said, "Well, that's okay because she stole my thing." They were kind of, and it was kind of interesting because at the end, somebody said, "Well, the Holy Spirit must be talking because everybody's saying kind of the same thing, and it's at least one little arena. So I'm going to steal something." Here's a list. They mentioned 5 of 6, but here's a whole list of European leaders who don't have kids. And it's, they're leading the nations and making rules over nations and want to make rules over all the world. And they don't even have kids. How do you do that? I was told that, and it's not necessarily true all the time, so don't get me wrong, because sometimes the Lord keeps us from having kids, or sometimes we make a... Remember, Jesus said that there's some people who don't get married because they're focused on the Lord, but that's not the whole case. That's not why the Lord made us or how he made us. He said, go, replenish the earth, and here you got a whole list of leaders who are not doing that. We're unmanning ourselves. You've heard about the nations in Europe and the United States even, that the birth rate's going down. And so that's a huge reason for the immigration issue in Europe, and it's going to be in the United States as well. Well, we got to populate, but I don't want to have kids. I don't even want to get married. In fact, if I do, it's going to be to my robot. It's just impersonable. We had a lady in Italy last week who married herself. I know it's strange stuff, but it's to make a point that the world is becoming very impersonable. I don't need you, and I don't want you to lean on me. Is that the church? It can't be the church. It shouldn't be the world, because the Lord said that's not the way I want it. But it better not be the church. So let's start backwards here a little bit. Let's go to the last verse in the scripture in Colossae. Paul says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. He's writing to a church that he's never been to. Okay, don't get me wrong, because we remember at the very beginning, Epaphras set up this church. But they know Paul because they know Epaphras. And Epaphras was saved through Paul, or at least taught leadership through Paul, and was responsible to Paul and accountable to Paul and helpful to Paul, as remembering he goes 1,000 miles to visit Paul in prison, remembering that this is a prison letter. It was a little difficult, and I don't think I did this task very well last week, but I tried to count the number of friends Paul had. I'm talking about somebody he named by name. Now, he's going to, at the end of this, he's going to write to the, send this letter to the church of Laodicea, and send this letter to, you know, Colossians, and, you know, the Ephesians, and so he got all these, you got all these friends and stuff that he hasn't named, but he names 86 people, 86, that he ministered with and helped him. And you know, Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla, those wonderful couples. He's got several of those couples, you know. And Artemis and Barsabbas, not Barabbas. Barsabbas, and you ever heard of Carpus? And you know Cephas, but do you know Claudia? You remember Chloe and Cretans and Damaris? Do you remember those names? They're eternal names. They're written down in the eternal word of God. Now, I'm not saying that you even should remember those names. But my point is, Paul did. The Holy Spirit did. And they meant something to Paul. At least 86 of them. I don't even know if I even got the number right. We will find that a few abandoned him. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. As Paul, there's Colossae in the realm of the churches over there in what they called Asia at the time. That's Turkey, modern-day Turkey. On his travels going through in his 3 trips and probably 4 and maybe even 5, as he might have probably got to Spain and maybe further, who knows, before he died. We're not really sure. But on his trips, he was sure to be accompanied with and accompany others and help others as they build their ministry, build their families, build their personal relationships, and even their marriages. He was involved. He was a friend of theirs. He was not impersonable. He was not impersonable. How would you like, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you a taste of having an impersonable minister. Okay? You ready for this? All right. We'll give you a taste of this. There he is. Okay? And there he is. Make sure the volume's up. There we go. Okay, ready for a blessing?
Jack, hello.
Hi and welcome. It's nice to meet you. Would you like to be blessed by a female or a male voice?
Male voice.
Fine. Which blessing do you need?
So that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go forth in the peace of God. Would you like to print out your blessing? present, and goodbye.
That's my closing statement for the church today. Thank you and goodbye. I'm not sure what you think of me. I do care. But you could have him. I mean, that's what's happening in Europe and other places. You get him in several languages. It's a very strange, impersonable world that we're going into. And we were at a conference yesterday with about 7,000 people. Honestly, I'll be frank with you. I don't know what you guys experienced, but I saw so many faces, so many smiling faces. So many people were walking up to me, talking to me, and it was interesting. I've been to some churches that are so big that it's like a mall. You walk in and they just walk by. There's no mourning. There's no hugs. There's no. Well, that's why we do our greeting in the morning, because it's a sense of, I see your face. I know your name. A little bit more about that later. But as Paul talked about these friends. And I always lose my cursor because I'm dealing with an impersonable being. Let's talk about some of these. Have you ever really traced any of these guys down? Let's just trace a few of them, okay? What do you got? Oh. You ever traced these names that you can't say? Tychicus. You ever just studied him, just went, he's only mentioned a few times, but he's phenomenal. This guy traveled with Paul and was actually, looks like his personal ambassador. Not his server or his slave or anything like that. This guy said, hey, you need something run to the church of Colossae? I'll do it. You need something run to Syria or to Ephesus, I'm your man. He was like the, I don't want to say Pony Express, because it wasn't just the letters at the time. He was very personal. And it says in at least two other places, basically what it says here. Tychicus will tell you all about me, all about what's happening with my activities. He is a beloved brother. Mentioned several times. He's a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you. And he says the same thing in Ephesus. I've sent him to you for this very purpose. Tychicus had a purpose, and it's eternal. Acts chapter 20. There's an uproar. And so Paul has to leave. And he ends up he's in Greece, there's an uproar, and he's leaving, and he has to cut across Asia. He was going to go by boat, but that didn't work out. So seven other brothers got up and went with him, accompanied him, helping him. Tychicus was one of them. Tychicus went almost everywhere with Paul and did some of his work for him. He's the guy that brought the letter to the Church of Colossae from Rome. He's the one that, when Paul was in prison, took his letter to this church. In the book of Philemon, you remember the book of Philemon? It's all about this wonderful man, Philemon, who had a slave. And this slave had a problem, Onesimus. He had a problem. And so he left, and he said, I have to get a third party. So he knows Paul, because Paul visited Philemon's house, okay? So he knows Paul, he trusts Paul, so he goes to Onesimus, goes to Rome to see Paul to get help. You know what happened to Onesimus there? It looks like he got saved. He got saved there. And so Paul writes this letter to Philemon, and Tychicus is going to take this letter to Philemon and the church of Colossae and the church of Laodicea, And by the way, he's going to accompany Onesimus back. This was Tychicus, a trusted man. Who else is here? Well, there's that man, that young man. We don't know how old he was. He was a servant, a slave to Philemon. But Paul says he's faithful. He's a beloved brother who is one of you. He's from the church of Colossae. He's from the house of Philemon. And he also will tell you of everything. There's Aristarchus. My fellow prisoner greets you. Aristarchus was always with Paul. He seems like this man never left his side. It's almost, I wouldn't say he was a bodyguard, but he was somewhat of a heavy. And this is what I mean by this, okay? I don't mean that he stuck in for Paul or he beat people up. What I mean is that he did not leave Paul's side. He got into those situations where Paul was in danger. Go back to Acts chapter 19. Let me read you a second here. You remember that there's this riot at Ephesus. Why? The silversmith got all panicky and he got the rest of the silversmiths mad at Paul because Paul's preaching Christ and they're going to take business away from Artemis, this false god, right? Building these little statues. And so it says, about that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way which Paul was preaching. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen, and so he caused a dispute. Goes down and says, and there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great god Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and world worship. So he's defending Artemis. Remind you of Sunday school? Whoever that was there at Sunday school? Where Gideon was told to go down and tear down the prophet of Baal, or this Asherah pole and stuff. And so he goes out and does it. He's a little fearful, but he does it. And he does it at night. And his dad gets up in the morning. Everybody's up mad. And his dad said, listen, let Baal defend himself. Let this false god defend himself. And so you got another guy who's defending some little article. And so anyway, when they heard this, the town, Ephesus, was enraged. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, they cried. So the city was filled with confusion. And they rushed together into the theater to get Paul. Okay, they were going to kill him or something. And they dragged with them Gaius and this guy, Aristarchus. And then Aristarchus actually goes with Paul from there. He's traveling all over with Paul and actually gets thrown into prison. He's in prison with Paul here. He was unafraid. He was in Paul's life. There's Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. We're going to get to them in a couple minutes. Concerning with whom you have received instruction, if he comes to you, welcome him. We'll come back to them. And Jesus, who is called Justice. Now, Mark and Barnabas and Justice were three Jews. And they were putting their lives on the line for the Christian cause. He says, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. You know, if you have somebody like you in ministry with you who's been through some of the stuff that you've been through, like Paul, then you have a comfort. And that's what these men were to Paul. You remember Epaphras? We use this couple verses at the beginning of the book of Colossae. Epaphras is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So this man, again, went 1,000 miles because he was concerned for his church. He went to get some help from Paul. He's helped set up these churches. And Epaphras is struggling. And Paul sees him as a friend. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Do I have to talk about Luke? His travels through Acts with Paul. And his writings of Acts and Luke.
how much he wrote and how much he studied as a historian, this gentleman probably basically gave up a livelihood as a physician to follow Paul around, probably became his physician to help him on his way. We know he was sick, and ministered with him and hardly ever left his side, just for a few times. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Does anybody remember the name Nympha before today? I didn't. I forgot. Or I didn't even just put it in my brain, because she doesn't matter. But she matters to Paul. And so does Lydia and Chloe and Junia and several Marys, other ladies, who some of them were widows, some of them were just single, and held church in their house for the cause of Christ and for Paul. Those are some of the names. I sent an email out this last week. I got a few responses back. Who should I start with? Should I start with Dave? No. let's see. What did Dave write? Should I, Dave? Okay. Okay, let's do this. I decided to do it this way. This is not Dave, so I'm... Who here... Now, I'm gonna tell you why I'm doing this in a few minutes, okay? But I'm going to ask you some questions, and I would just like you to raise your hand. If you feel like, you can even give up and give a 30-second testimony. If you want to, raise both hands, okay? Because you're brave enough, right? Who here likes liver and onions? Now, get them up high. Get them up high. I count 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. 11 people. Now, okay, I'm sorry, one more time. Raise them up. Now, look around. Now, okay, now, Dawn, you have a connection with Helen. I mean, you didn't know that before, probably. Bonnie and Mary, I mean, that's the same family. How'd they do that? My mom made onions and liver, and I ran out the back door. There's not enough for you guys to share, but somebody can have mine. Did you know that about each other? That has nothing to do with ministry. That has nothing to do with connection, does it? Do you eat together? Do we eat? Okay. Who in the last 5 years, had a severe illness? Raise your hand high. Raise your hand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, there's 6. Now, who in this room had a severe illness in your close family? Raise your hand in your close family. Should be more than 6. There's a dozen. There's more than a dozen. Who had a death in 5 years? There's more than a dozen. You see what I'm getting at? You guys have a connection. What's happening with the American public, if you think about this, as society goes, if we're not careful, the church goes. You remember hearing the divorce rate. You remember hearing the unmarried rate. Kind of the same thing. So the church goes. If we're not connected and understanding each other. If we don't know each other. Do you know that Paul sat with these people, ministered with them, and we say, well, that's Paul. He's a minister. And I will say this over and over until I die from it. You are all ministers. You are all disciples of Christ and ambassadors of Christ, and we are all of the priesthood, and we all need each other.
I am going to point this one out. Okay, LaDon, are you ready? I love this one. Did you know that LaDon and Betty have 60 first cousins? 60! 60 first cousins, not including all their spouses. 22 aunts and uncles, not including their spouses. She says, I have no idea how many kids they got. Grandkids, great grandkids. They know, no idea. Did you know that Dorcas, her life has been in ministry her whole life? Her dad was a chaplain in the army. I'm going to share your story because you gave it to me. She got on a ship when she was a young kid with her mom to go down and visit her dad in the army in Panama. And gets down. Well, first of all, you're seasick the whole way down, and everybody's seasick the whole way down, and you're not having a good time. And then you get down there, and did you like it down there, Dorcas? Nope. And she went through school, and she couldn't speak Spanish, and you had that going for you. She's been in ministry her whole life. Who has a minister in their family? Raise your hand high. There's eight people, nine, ten. You see what I'm getting at? You see, do you realize, young people, I'm going to talk to you for a second. Do you realize that 85 to 90% of a person who comes into the church will stay because they have a connection? A connection. You thought I was the connection. You thought they had to come in here and say, man, I sure like that preacher up there talking about weird robots and stuff. Yeah, they're not going to stay because of preaching. They're not going to stay because of Roger's music. We'll talk about that later. They're not going to do that. They're going to stay because they have a connection. Cornerstone, when you lovely people came over, you stayed because you had a connection. And I want to pat every one of you on the back every day. It was hard. Paul had a connection with these people, and he kept it. And we need to keep those connections in the church. It is so vital. I'll tell you why here in a couple minutes. How many of you, you thought you were done. How many of you, and don't be embarrassed. Okay, let me start this way. I told you when I first got here, I think, I call myself a independent Nazareth Baptist. You remember that? Probably not. It's been too long. I'm part of an independent church. I have been before. I got ordained in an independent church. I was part of the Nazarene church. Sonia was too, and she's actually the same. We were part of the Nazarene church for 4 or 5 years. Oh, 5 or 6 years. I was part of the Baptist church for 10 years. And I was part of the Charismatic church when I first started. I mean, I've seen it all. I've seen why the Lutherans, not too much the Lutherans. I've seen why the Nazarenes do what they do. And the Baptists do what they do. And the Charismatics are who they are. I know why. I've lived part of it. And so, having said that, how many of you have some kind of, even if it's temporary, Lutheran background? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody just look around at the Lutherans. Most of you people, I think, will know each other already. It's kind of that way, isn't it, Gary? Okay, put your hands down. How about Catholic background? There's 6 or 8 Catholic backgrounds here. How about Baptist? Okay, I'm so glad there's quite a few. I'm glad there's not all of you. I can say that because I was 10 years Baptist. How about any kind of charismatic background? Raise your hand high. Come on. Only 4? Does that tell you something about our denomination? I mean, our church? Does that tell you why we do some of the things we do and why people stay? We're not a charismatic church.
We can talk about, I can talk about tongues. I can talk to maybe two or three people about tongues. But we're not into tongues. You see, the connection here is so important. And Paul made sure that he was keeping those connections. There's a reason, there's one reason to have a connection when people come in. Not to falsely make some kind of connection. But to keep a connection, find out what they are, keep a connection that we have relevant and personal, so that we can gain people into the household of God. And that's the first reason, not in, as members of the church, okay, of this church, into the house of the Lord is our first premise. But the second premise is to keep them from being picked off by the world and the devil. Because if people lose connection, they are out there where the devil wants to get them. Paul says, and when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. First of all, the reason is, again, going back to the premise of the letter, that there's a danger coming around, there's false doctrine coming around, and Paul wants to give the proper doctrine to his friends. Keep connected. Keep in the know. Keep in the knowledge of it. Paul is saying, have it read to everybody. But then, verse 10, I'm going back to verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Now, these two are Jewish men. And you remember that Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Did you know that he's also the young man in Mark chapter, what was it? I want to say 13 or something. Where Mark is the young man that runs away from Jesus. Did you know that he was following and then he got scared and ran? Did you know that Mark was also the one that in Acts chapter 13 went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas? And what happened? Life got tough. And this young man didn't get going. He turned back. Some people like to say he missed his mom. Some people say people were getting sick. It was too cold, whatever it was. Mark went back. And you remember on the next missionary journey when Paul and Barnabas were going to go together, Barnabas said, let's take Mark. And what Paul said, ain't happening. Not happening on my shift. And Barnabas, that encourager, Barnabas, this wonderful man, goes and takes him and goes to Cyprus. They needed him in Cyprus, by the way. It's a place of pagans. And they needed Barnabas there, and Mark went with him. And now Paul later is accepting him back into the fold. Mark, concerning him, you have received instructions. Receive him back. Forgive him. Take him back. He is, and in another place, I think it's 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, bring Mark, he's helpful to me. He is helpful to me. Because Mark had a connection with not only Barnabas, but Peter. I personally believe, and other scholars believe, that Peter helped Mark write that his gospel. I believe it. Because of the light that it puts Peter in. And then other places in Peter, and other places, Mark is with Peter in Rome. So Mark was connected, but others reached out to him to keep him connected. And then you have this young man. I'm not talking about Luke. I'm talking about Demas.
If you were looking earlier, I kind of skipped over Demas. If ever I skip over something, you probably said, something's up. You know the story about Demas. We're never going to say that man isn't saved, but in 2 Timothy 4, this is Paul's very last letter. He says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. We're not sure too much about Grecians, but Titus was in ministry, and we know that he led the church in Cyprus, and so they left Paul for whatever reason. But Demas is singled out here because he loved the world. There's no tradition that he came back or did anything else. There's some rumors and some other things, but there's no evidence of that. Why? Because he loved the world. But see, Mark had some problems too. But he was connected. We have 11 chapters here. 11 verses here in this chapter. And if you go through Ephesians and Philippians and Corinthians and all the other Paul epistles and see how many verses are written about certain people, you will see that they meant something to him. He was connected, and he wanted to remain connected, and actually he wanted them to remain connected with each other. Greet this person. Tell this person. Help these people. That's really what the church is, and we'll close with this. Again, on this whole theme of where the world is going, the coldness of the world and the impersonal relationships of the world as it continues, what is the church going to look like? I for one believe that there is a time, and I think the Bible bears this out, that the Lord is simply, he loves the church, he loves the bride, he's not going to put her through the tribulation. He's going to bring her home. But at the same time, she's run the course. She's done her work. And in fact, nobody's listening to her. In fact, in the book of Laodicea, she is losing steam. And so if we are not careful, just as our little church, we could lose steam. Go find somebody who loves onions. Go find somebody who's lost somebody who is hurting in the church and say, I've been there. There's some things that I cannot do. You can do. I can't be a Tychicus or even a Paul sometimes. But you can, because there's not one person in this church. There's a lot. And we have a connection. The first, of course, is that we are of our Savior and in his household, and are living stones together. Spark up a conversation and be willing to, and I think probably the best thing I can say is that when you hear somebody is going through a tough time, if you know of somebody that needs somebody, take them out for liver and onions. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. You call each one of us a friend. It's kind of hard to imagine you can have so many friends, billions of them probably. But you do. You are a faithful God. You know us, and you say one day we will be known. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that I've come to know so many here in this church, and yet I have so much more to learn, so many more people to get to know. And I pray that you'll help not just me, but all of us to do that, so that we can have a connection that Satan and even our own desires, maybe even fears of being around others, will be broken down, and our desires will be built up to remain in the church wherever we are and to follow
your command to love one another as you loved us. We worship you for that and praise you for that in Jesus' name.